I welcome you here. Thanks for coming by. I think you got a couple things going on right now, so I'm glad you made the time to stop with us. But the first question I guess I want to ask you is, every leader from a small business person like myself to a governor, city leader, any department manager, store, whatever it is, every leader of every kind in the last year has taken a gut punch from COVID. And to me, I love to study leadership and I love to study people and learn every single thing I can from them. And to me, it's been like a real world MBA. How can I watch what every single person is doing and learn from them? So to me, I guess I'd ask you, what are the lessons that you've learned through this period of time that none of us had a playbook for?
Yeah. Well, it's good to be back. Don't want to leave. I feel like being part of the great news here is nourishing in and of itself. And especially during a time like this. And I know this will pass ultimately, and we're all going to get through this, and we're making progress every day. That's not just the eternal optimist in me. I just see signs along the way that give me comfort. And that's including all of the gut punches that we've taken and the heartache and the loss. But it's also pretty inspiring to live during a time like this in a state like Indiana. I'm a little biased, but where it's really in our DNA, who we are, to not just promote Hoosier hospitality, but to actually live it and help and love thy neighbor. And so there's good news all around us. I always say we have a great story to tell and we need to tell it. And what I'm reminded of during all of this and what I'm really thankful for is just having a great team and having that team assembled before something like COVID-19 washed upon our shores. We always had challenges and we always were out trying to do big things. You mentioned one with the Westlake Corridor expansion. But COVID-19 kind of came out of, you know, left field. Yeah. And people, we didn't have much time before we saw it really start taking off in Indiana and America and other places around the world. So I think, you know, don't wait to assemble a dream team after the fact.
Yeah, until you need a dream team. Exactly. You need a dream team right now.
That's exactly right.
All the time.
And we're each feeding off of each other's strengths. And there's some common denominators with every single person. And I think, you know, when we first started putting together the administration, I kind of jokingly said, well, there's really just three boxes that we need to check. Folks need to be honest. Yeah. They need to be humble and they need to be hungry.
And you actually touched on those the last time we spoke.
I meant it, yeah. Right? And it, boy, does that turn out to be true and what was really needed, because these are all folks who are experts in their fields and their, you know, areas of the backgrounds. And, but then they, when they started to see each other, that also was infectious in a good way. They all wanted to be part of something special, of people who had the head and the heart for this type of service. And so if anything,
then they buy into that team. They're not just buying into
you. Chemistry.
They're buying into every single one of those other people. Like,
yep.
I like him because he likes that guy. Yep. And that guy likes this guy. And this guy likes, and they want to help those other people be successful
every day. I've often kind of described going through this past year, you know, 8+ months, as Hoosiers have got to see not just the governor, but they've gone to Oz, they've looked behind the curtain, and they've seen that Chris or Eric or Chris Box, Dr. Box, yeah, or Fred Payne at DWD, we're Hoosiers. We all come, born and raised in Claremont, Indiana, and it's not some wizard back there that's, you know,
real people.
They're just real people with real experience and real life, you know, world experience. And all came together, all remaining very calm during it all, and just getting it done day after day after day, always trying to take, again, it's not rhetorical, always trying to take what we do to the next level.
When I'm watching you and Dr. Box and the other people on those live streams that you're doing a zillion times, you're basically just saying, I'm going to give you the information. I'm going to give you the facts. I'm going to communicate this all to you.
Yep.
And the next expert. And there's
that's right.
It's not. It really is a combined effort.
Yeah, it's a team, and it's you know, we're calm because we're very comfortable sharing, being very transparent about what we know. We're not trying to hold anything back. We trust people, and by the way, we rely on people to make good decisions. They can't necessarily make them if they don't have the access to the same information that we do, that we're charged to share. And so, you know, yes, we're going to share the good news. And again, by the way, there's so many examples of people who step forward sharing those. I get calls all the time that say, hey, can you connect me with so-and-so that you talked about at 2:30?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden in Petersburg, Indiana, they're doing something that happened in Valparaiso or vice versa.
Yep.
It's pretty cool to be part of something that special and big.
Well, and to understand the importance of emphasizing that, it doesn't minimize the challenges that anybody is going through whatsoever, but it does give you an opportunity to maybe have those challenges not overwhelm you.
Yeah. And, you know, we all need hope, and I want to convert that hope to opportunity. And no matter what the challenge is, before we get there, folks to understand that there are people available who want to help you.
Nonstop, as an administration, I would say you jumped in with both feet and every platform, you're communicating all the time, you're doing live streams, you're asking questions, you're answering questions that I definitely probably would punch myself in the face if I had to listen to those questions every single day. You stay calm, you communicate nonstop. How do you do it?
Well, I know my...
How do you do it?
How do I do it? I know my wife and my mother are watching. And they'll correct me if I slip. But no, seriously, I think how and why, in a word, comes down to mission. And we remain very mission-focused and very people-purposed. And that's why we do it, too, by the way. I mean, everything we do is, I almost have, you know, a shot clock or a egg timer going off in the back of my brain, and it's counting down. And so you only have so much time to try to do good. And there are very few positions in government that are, you know, like a governor or a cabinet has, where everything you do has the potential of doing great good. And that's a responsibility that everyone on this team takes very seriously. And so to focus on the mission, that far outweighs any of the, you know, potential negative, you know, the any pettiness or any gotcha try, you know, moments.
You've had someone make a negative comment?
Well, there are people that are skeptical. Yeah, let's just say there are people that aren't in agreement. And I get that because, again, this is and by the way, I've worked for some pretty tough folks, or, you know, had a coach who I adore and revere and love, who was a taskmaster and or was in the military and had a drill sergeant.
I would have to believe Governor Daniels was not a teddy bear.
He was warm and fuzzy, but someone that I looked up to.
Yeah.
And
commanded your respect because he was all in on every single thing he was going to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And yeah, and you weren't, you couldn't be a slouch.
Yeah.
And you had to be in it for the right reason. And it was not about you. It's about what you're doing here.
Yeah.
And
so, I think there was an understanding that if you were on the starting team, like you have a very significant role.
That's right.
But like you have to fill that role every minute of every game.
That's exactly right. Role was so important. And honestly, not to bring this back to me, but this administration has the best cabinet I've ever seen because of the team chemistry. And so, yeah, we're building every year on a foundation that was laid years ago, but we just keep building that foundation. And hopefully, you know, when I'm done, someone else is going to come along and they're going to take what we've done and they're going to take it and shatter whatever so-called record or winning percentage that we had.
Nonstop, as an administration, I would say you jumped in with both feet and every platform, you're communicating all the time, you're doing live streams, you're asking questions, you're answering questions that I definitely probably would punch myself in the face if I had to listen to those questions every single day. You stay calm. Yeah. You communicate nonstop. How do you do it?
Well, I know my...
How do you do it?
How do I do it? I know my wife and my mother are watching. And they'll correct me if I slip. But no, seriously, I think how and why, in a word, comes down to mission. And we remain very mission-focused and very people-purposed. And that's why we do it, too, by the way. I mean, everything we do is, I almost have, you know, a shot clock or a egg timer going off in the back of my brain, and it's counting down. And so you only have so much time to try to do good. And there are very few positions in government that are, you know, like a governor or a cabinet has, where everything you do has the potential of doing great good. And that's a responsibility that everyone on this team takes very seriously. And so to focus on the mission, that far outweighs any of the, you know, potential negative, you know, the any pettiness or any gotcha try, you know, moments.
You've had someone make a negative comment?
Well, there are people that are skeptical. Yeah, let's just say there are people that aren't in agreement. And I get that because, again, this is and by the way, I've worked for some pretty tough folks, or, you know, had a coach who I adore and revere and love, who was a taskmaster and or was in the military and had a drill sergeant.
I would have to believe Governor Daniels was not a teddy bear.
He was warm and fuzzy, but someone that I looked up to.
Yeah.
And
commanded your respect because he was all in on every single thing he was going to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And yeah, and you couldn't be a slouch.
Yeah.
And you had to be in it for the right reason. And it was not about you. It's about what you're doing here.
Yeah.
And
so, I think there was an understanding that if you were on the starting team, like you have a very significant role.
That's right.
But like you have to fill that role every minute of every game.
That's exactly right. Role was so important. And honestly, not to bring this back to me, but this administration has the best cabinet I've ever seen because of the team chemistry. And so, yeah, we're building every year on a foundation that was laid years ago, but we just keep building that foundation. And hopefully, you know, when I'm done, someone else is going to come along and they're going to take what we've done and they're going to take it and shatter whatever so-called record or winning percentage that we had.
News stories, like, where have you been impressed, not maybe by the magnitude, but by the significance of individual gestures?
Yeah, that's probably the other source of fuel, you know, outside of the good book and the family, is seeing individuals and church groups and doctors and nurses and assistants who often get forgotten, small business owners completely changing their whole line of products to not just accommodate the need or meet the need, but to over deliver. And so when you get, you know, church lady groups in churches that are stitching masks at the very outset and still doing that to meet the need, because this is so important. And when you get folks who say, you know, I'm going to start making hand sanitizer, or I'm going to make gowns, or I'm going to make, and then when you're able to see folks learn a trade, maybe they're incarcerated right now. And we say, well, you know, there's a whole nother market out there for gowns and gloves and masks. And so now we're teaching, you know, tailoring, and ultimately then they're going to be able to, when they pay their debt to society, they're going to be able to go work for an RV industry, or, and they're already getting credentials and certificates from, you know, a business or Ivy Tech or Vincent University, or they could go work for one of our auto OEMs or trucking companies, and they're in high demand. And so when you get to see, you know, our recidivism rate went down 4% because we're training people so that when they get out, they're already hired and they already have, they have more than hope. They have a skill set and a lot of dignity that goes with it. And so I'm seeing those. That's one of the real, again, sources of nourishment for me, is I get to see folks say, how can we help on a grand scale? Yes, it's to get through COVID-19. And they can see the other side of this.
Yeah.
And they know that we're going to be.
But you see heroes in 200 communities. You know, I look at them in 30 or 40. You're looking at hundreds of communities where people are, oh, that lady's a rock star.
Yes.
That guy is like, what a hero.
And there are people who, you know, we expect a lot from folks who have been given a lot, and they're stepping forward. And we're also seeing people who, again, don't have much, who are given a lot, whether they're leading them to help, whether they're, you know, collecting T-shirts that they haven't worn in years and making masks and then giving them to the folks who are in need, whether or students in high school or junior high using 3D printers to make face shields and then delivering them to the local hospital. I mean, it's inspiring. And so it's every age, or kids that are, you know, in high school that are writing inspirational songs and sharing them. And then going down to, not Nashville, Indiana, but, you know, the Little Opry, but the Big Opry down in Nashville, Tennessee, and playing these songs that they wrote on Hoosier soil. It's pretty.
Okay, I want to interview her. Jenny, actually,
I will connect you.
To interview that person.
I will connect you. I'll make that happen. And you, I think, will be inspired.
A couple days ago, I had the opportunity to spend the morning with you as you did the groundbreaking for the Westlake Extension. To say, for anybody that is aware of that, to say that that's like a defining moment, knowing how many people have been involved for how many years to make that happen, how many parties that had to get involved across counties and state and personalities and just. There's just a whole lot of stuff that had to come together. A common theme at that event and every other thing related to that was that unity, that how do you get Northwest Indiana, Indiana? How do you get all these different counties working together? What, how did that happen? We don't, and I count us as we now because I'm in the region, but we're not known for getting along. So why did that work as well as it did?
Well, you know, this is, I don't want to take credit for this, because as you allude to or articulate, a lot of people have been working on this for decades, and it is a no-brainer. And so when, you know, I got elected and started looking at what are their priorities, this just seemed like we have to get this done. So what's it going to take? And it took consensus building, and it took getting folks on the same page. It took a lot of, who cares who gets credit for this? Let's just get it done. It I think took sharing that this is our moment where all the stars can align, whether it be local, state, federal. It took leadership for sure, saying this is a number one priority for me. It took I think an approach, you know, we always take the approach of building one Indiana for all. And if double tracking the South Shore line or expanding the Westlake corridor is good for the region or the northwest corner of our state, by the way, that is good for the rest of the state as well, because we're clearly, you know, all in this thing together. And so we want Jefferson. I'm rooting for Jeffersonville when I'm in Gary, and I'm rooting for Gary when I'm in Jeffersonville, and couldn't be further apart and still in the same state. But to see the northwest quadrant of our state and to see Jeffersonville, the River Ridge area, just booming as well, these areas have been, they have become magnetic. And what you just said in terms of drawing talent and residences and for sure businesses, we talked a little bit about the potential and going to be realized economic development, but it's also bringing people, which we need just as much as, you know, we need the jobs. And by the way, when they do come and when they share their personal stories with me, it's almost like they have this Einstein moment of the relevancy of, you know, space and time. They get back time in their lives, which means they get to spend it with their family, or they have more space to enjoy with their family, or their dollar goes further on this side of the border than in the other. And so it's very important that we continue to prioritize, you know, our location. Yeah. And that means investing in our infrastructure like rail. And so when you can get from, you know, Wheaton or Naperville to the city, or you can get from Valparaiso to the city in the same time, or Michigan City to the city in the same time, you know, we win. And because of look around.
By a large margin. Yeah. It's not just you win. It's
for
the finances of the state aren't good. The regulations of the state aren't good. The business climate of the state isn't good. The tax base of the state, like, everything's not good.
Yeah.
And it's better over here. But it just, I do, and I know this will moderate some related to COVID, but ultimately there's going to be a post-COVID day.
That's right.
And people will go to cities again, and people will travel to conferences. It's not like we're going to be in this forever.
That's right.
It feels like forever.
Yeah.
But we're not going to be in this forever. And I think being connected to a Chicago market is just.
And you know, the other thing beyond the physical investments, that day to me, and I've had a few others, but that day to me, the Hoosier psyche, the understanding that we can and we will, to your point about we'll be on the other side of COVID, we can and we will do big things. We have talked about this for decades. We have talked about completing in Southwest Indiana I-69 since the Korean conflict. We're actually going to finish it. And people tear up when they think we're on section 6 of I-69. People teared up when they not are just envisioning how nice it would be to double track, not single track, for a century. Tear up when they understand this is going to happen. It is happening. And that's something that shows we can do big things here, and we can do big things together. And maybe it's a prerequisite that we do the big things together.